offenders, them they pretenders.
Jay, I got one question for you, brother. How stupid did you feel wearing a New York Guardians hat and shirt and watching them get demolished by the DC
Defenders?
DC Defenders. That is right. Yeah. My team whooped your ass, brother.
Man. Yeah, I felt like an absolute boob getting my gear Saturday morning that I ordered.
You should feel like an absolute boob just for the fact that you purchased XFL gear in the first place. You can shut that song off in the background. I'm sick of hearing this crappy.
It's an awesome song. Yeah. What are you talking about? This
goddamn shitty XFL.
I figured
theme song.
We just let it. I figured we just let
the
it
whole
go show the
just show. Keep it going.
We can run through all eight teams' themes
no,
if you want.
I'd rather drink sure. poison. yeah, so week two, the XFL is in the books. My team I picked before the season, the DC Defenders, faced Jay's team, the New York Guardians, in
close
yeah,
one.
Not really. Matt McGloin is terrible. Can we talk about Matt McGloin for a second?
Please. I mean, let's do it. Can I give my quick thought real quick? Because you might be on board with this real quick. So McGloin played like
he's terrible.
That game. And at halftime, they interviewed him going off the field, and he just put the blame on everybody else. And the first thought that went through my head was, holy hell, this is the starting quarterback from the DC team and the replacements. Yeah. And then Keanu Reeves shows up because the coach says, heart. We need heart.
Matt McGloin has no heart. Well, did you see what he said at the end of the game as well? He was just
whispering to the coach.
No, at the end of the game, they interviewed him again, and he was basically saying that there's problems in the locker room and they need to change all this stuff up. And I think that problem might be Matt McGloin. And
it could be.
He might not be there that much longer. But that's about all the XFL talk I have. There's not much.
My quick thoughts, Saturday was okay. It was, it just didn't seem like that. The first game was a blowout. Second game was okay. Today, games were a lot
better. I didn't really get to see much of them today.
I saw a little bit, but you had, Landry Jones and Josh Johnson for, I think it was Dallas and
LA.
LA.
So those are
it was
two
a relatively slow game, and then they exploded.
That's what I saw.
I saw the end of the game.
There's a lot of more points and whatnot.
Yeah, so it turned out to be pretty good games today. And then I posted something on our Facebook page. I think it was St. Louis.
Yeah.
If
They're
I'm correct,
right now.
28. Was it okay? Then it wasn't St. Louis. I can't remember what team it was, but 28,000 people.
Oh, that was Seattle.
Came
that
to
was
the game.
A Seattle game.
Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people there. Yeah, they said Seattle and St. Louis are going to have big crowds. I did see that D.C., they were down about 2,000 fans this week compared to last week. They still had 15,000 there.
Not bad.
Yeah, like we talked about last time, until the XFL starts getting bigger players, especially at the quarterback position, they're going to struggle soon because it's really starting to show that the quarterback play is garbage.
For a couple teams. Yeah. I mean Cardale Jones,
Landry Jones, Josh Johnson. I mean, those are guys that you know have a little bit of experience. But the Vipers' quarterback looked terrible. Seattle's quarterback looked terrible.
Yeah,
they got to do something.
And I guess we could touch on the fact that they Tim Tebow came out. They had an interview with him.
Yeah,
and he said that he had some contact with some teams, but he decided to
stay with baseball. Yeah.
Which I think that's more of a no faith in the XFL.
Hey, first off, you can't mention Tebow with no and any kind of lack of faith. That man has faith, brother.
You know what? I apologize. That's a very good point.
Yeah. So they got to do something, though. Maybe this year is just kind of like a test run to keep it. And then next year they might start throwing money at college sophomores, some big-time names in there maybe. So good. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we go into our offensive side of our stay and go segment on the offensive line, we had some coaching hires, one by the Steelers and a few by the Eagles a few weeks ago. I'm sure everybody already knows about them if you're, you know, a hardcore fan of the teams. Jay, you want to start out? I know the receivers coach for Pittsburgh, they hired someone new.
What
do you got on him?
He backed out.
Really?
He is staying at, I think it's South Carolina.
Wow, I did not hear that at all.
Yeah. It wasn't finalized last week when we talked about it. I thought it was.
Yeah.
But he decided to stay there. And the name that's floating around now that they were interviewing at the same time as him that could get the job is Jericho Cotchery.
Really? Why not go after Hines Ward?
I know
the Jets, I don't know if they locked him up. I know because the Eagles were talking to him, but
I think he's floating. He was only an assistant.
Yeah, he was only an assistant last year.
Or intern.
And I know the Eagles were rumored to be looking at him, but I think the Jets are trying to keep him.
Yeah, I don't know. But they're looking at Jericho Cotchery, and then the guy that they wanted to bring in decided to stay at, I think it's South Carolina. So right now they haven't hired anybody.
So they're still looking for a receivers coach.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess we don't have too much to say about
no
that then. I'll go over the Eagles coaches hires real quick. They announced a whole slew of them. First off, Press Taylor, the quarterback's coach. This past season, got bumped up to passing game coordinator and quarterbacks coach because I guess they're going to go with no offensive coordinator this year. They kind of hired a few guys to kind of replace that role. So Press Taylor bumped up to passing game coordinator. Then they brought in Rich Scangarello as a senior offensive assistant. Here's a guy that has a history as a quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. I'll talk about him a little bit because I feel like he's the most important hire out of all these. Then they brought in Aaron Moorhead as a wide receiver coach. This is a former wide receiver with the Colts, played with Peyton Manning back in the day.
Yeah, name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he was a big guy, 6'5". Like, he looked more like a tight end back then. He's been wide receiver coach at Vanderbilt the past few years, so they brought him in. Really not much to say about that. The Eagles have gone through 5 different wide receivers coaches the last 5 seasons. So I don't know. I don't know what they're looking for. And a wide receivers coach. So we'll see how Aaron Moorhead does, I guess.
Okay.
And then they brought in Andrew Briner from Mississippi State, I believe. He as a pass game analyst. This guy kind of has been working with, you know, some of the top college coaches on the offensive side of the ball. I think they're bringing him in just kind of as an ideas guide, maybe bring some of that college flair to their offense. And then they hired – one more hire was the defensive backs coach. That's Marquand Manuel. I like this hire a lot. He worked with Seattle when the Legion of Boom was playing really well, won a Super Bowl there. He was in Atlanta for a few years, was actually the defensive coordinator in Atlanta at one point. And then I believe he was fired either last year or the year before. So he's coming in with, you know, some good experience at to coaching defensive backs. We definitely need a lot of help in that area. So I'm hoping he can help. All right, well, let me get back to Rich Scangarello, the senior offensive assistant. I feel like this is your quote-unquote, air quotes here, offensive coordinator. This is a guy who's worked with the Shanahans, specifically Kyle Shanahan more recently. He was quarterback's coach in San Fran a couple years ago. He was promoted to offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos this past season and was let go. From everything I've heard, this is a guy who is a big-time idea guy. He comes in he's supposed to be bringing a bunch of new ideas to the offense, supposed to be doing things with, you know, motions and formations and stuff like that, kind of what you see the 49ers doing a lot this past year. So saying that, I think it's a good hire. Denver, he kind of got a bad rap. Joe Flacco was so terrible. But, I mean, we talked about last week, Locke, towards the end of the year when he got to play, really showed some improvement and looked good in that offense. They started playing better, putting up more points.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully that's the Scangarello we get. But, yeah, I mean, this offense desperately needed fresh ideas. Let me bring something up real quick. This is one thing I never understood. I listen to a lot of Eagles podcasts, this and that, and they always talk about Doug Peterson needing to get an ideas guy in there, this, and they need this kind of guy or this kind of guy, blah, 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 blah. Isn't it Doug Peterson's job to be able to watch film of other teams and create, like, new stuff for his offense? And, like, am I losing my mind here? Like, why does he need – not that I'm saying it's a bad thing that we hire somebody else to come in, but, like – they make it seem like Doug Peterson's worthless on these podcasts, and like he needs these guys. Like he's the head coach. Like, Doug, go watch some film of the San Francisco 49ers last year.
Yeah.
And incorporate some of that shit into your offense. It's, like, I don't understand where that all comes from. I don't know. That's just one thing that bothered me.
I mean, I get what you're saying there. As an offensive guy and as the head coach, he should be able to bring stuff to his team. But that's also why you have an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
To bring stuff to that. And I completely understand. But the thing that I don't – that's a little shocking to me is you're bringing in five guys for one position.
Well,
it seems like you're making up these new titles for guys.
The young kid, I really don't think he's going to have that big of a role. Press Taylor, good friends with Carson Wentz. I think this had a lot to do with it. He's like 5 years older than Carson. Okay. They're supposedly real close off the field. He's a quarterback's coach. I don't know. Like, he got bumped up the passing game coordinator, but I do really think they're all going to answer to this Scangarello guy.
Okay.
So he's basically the O coordinator, but he's just not given that title.
Yeah.
He's a senior offensive assistant or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just hope it's not too much input for one position.
And what I was talking about, I'm not saying it's bad that they're bringing outside voices in to give new ideas and stuff like that. I want that. That's awesome. I think that's needed. But I wanted, like, the same with shit last year. Obviously, he couldn't change a bunch of stuff in the middle of the season, but that offense was so stale. Like, how come he wasn't researching other offenses and finding ways to incorporate that into his own offense last year when clearly these guys that he had around him weren't bringing anything to the table? That's his job as a head coach, I feel like. And it just seems like, I don't know. I just feel like I don't want that. If Doug's not a good, like, if he's a good head coach, he should be able to do that, no matter who's around him. You know what I mean? So that's just how I felt about it.
Okay.
So, but other than that, not too much else going on around the NFL. I guess there was a few cuts here and there. I know the Redskins cut Josh Norman.
Yeah, they cut a couple other guys, too.
Paul Richardson, who's still a young speed guy. I could see the Eagles interested in him, possibly. I forget. I saw another name, too. But other than that, it's been real quiet. You haven't heard anything else around the league, Jay?
No, I guess the biggest thing pertaining to Steelers is Myles Garrett got officially reinstated.
Oh, yeah.
For the Cleveland Browns. And then comes right out and says that Mason Rudolph is a racist.
Yeah, I saw Mason's lawyer release the statement, and they might be.
I hate the fact that could be the route they're going, but it's also like
you can't just keep saying what you're saying.
Like, you're trying to ruin this kid's reputation.
Yeah,
when the play on the field is ruining his reputation.
I mean, that could basically cost him a job in the league if the Steelers ended up cutting him this offseason or whatever. Other teams might shy away from that just because Myles Garrett's going around saying,
"Yep, I tell you the biggest thing, he used
a racial slur against him."
Absolutely. The biggest thing, though, was Mike Tomlin coming out and saying that he talked to Myles Garrett after the game, talked to Cleveland Browns players right after the game.
Nobody said
anything to him.
Yeah.
There was no indication of anything. He basically just came out and said Myles Garrett's a liar. So,
yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't think anything else is going to happen on the NFL side of things.
I don't either. But Myles Garrett also has a history of lying. Remember that time he said a guy just attacked him in his car?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he said a fan came up to his car and said,
"Hey, somebody punched him."
And he said that the fan went to take a picture with him and punched him.
What, that didn't happen?
The fan came out and said that wasn't true.
Well, so whatever. I don't know what Myles Garrett's looking for then. All right. So Myles Garrett's back. He'll be able to bash the Steelers quarterbacks in the head this coming season without any further punishment.
Yeah, with his team winning four games.
I think they'll be better next year, but we'll see how the draft and free agency goes. Mm-hmm. We'll have to start getting into some free agency stuff here soon. Starts in like a month.
Yeah, we should be closing out our stay or goes next couple weeks. I think we have, four more positions after this.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we'll
maybe combine one or two
tight
ends, wide receivers.
Yeah, we'll probably do that.
But then after that, yeah, it starts into the big offseason stuff. So
we'll start picking like one free agent and one draft prospect we want maybe to kind of analyze. But
yeah.
All right. So I guess let's start with our stay or go segment here on the offensive line. Jay, do you want to start with the Steelers?
Yeah. This is going to be really quick because there's not much movement that looks like it's going to happen. Only one position, and we'll jump into that here in a minute. So right off the bat, returning starters for the Steelers, three of them, Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, Alejandro Villanueva, all staying. No movement there unless Pouncey retires. That's the only thing I'll see happening there. So you have your center, a guard, and a tackle locked in. Your other guard position, Ramon Foster, still has a year left on his deal, but he is due a little over $5 million at the age of 34.
Yeah.
So I honestly think he will be a cap casualty. Steelers will cut him.
Okay.
They'll save just under $5 million with the penalty in there just to get a little bit younger on the line. So I think Ramon Foster, who was a starter at guard last year, will be gone. That brings me it straight into our free agency. And the first guy that is a free agent is Matt Filer. He was the starting right tackle for the past 2 years. His natural position is.
All right.
So I think they re-sign. He's a restricted free agent. So I think they bring him back. Team friendly deal.
Well, he's restricted. They'll put.
They'll
put one of the. One of the restriction tags on them, whether what they tag the first, second, third, original tender, whatever. There's a whole bunch of them. Most of the time, they're around $3 million to $5 million dollars.
Bring him back, move him back to his natural position, which is left guard, where Ramon Foster was playing. So you have your center, your two guards, and your left tackle. So Matt Filer fills that position. The other free agent is Zach Banner. He's also a restricted free agent, he's a tackle. I think they bring him back too. They'll let him compete for that starting right tackle position with Chuck Okorafor, who is a returning backup. He's still locked down for another 2 years. So those two are going to battle for the right tackle position.
Okay.
The other free agent, BJ Finney. This is a little harder to pick because BJ Finney's a really good lineman. He's an undrafted guy, I think, out of Washington like 4 years ago. He can play center. He can play guard. He does them very well when he gets called in. And I think he might feel a little slighted after being passed over for the starting guard position. Yeah. But if the Steelers can bring him back, I think he could be that center in waiting behind Pouncey, who's probably going to be there another 2 years, maybe 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
So I honestly feel he's an unrestricted free agent. I think they get a deal with him and bring Finney back. So I think he stays.
All right.
And then other than that, there's they usually keep around eight guys. So as of my count, they have seven there. I think it's going to be more of a draft pick that comes in.
So draft pick over free agent.
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to bring anybody to start. I think they like these two young guys they have at the right tackle position. Let them fight it out. If you bring in a free agent, it's like you're not bringing in a guy to back up. Especially on the offensive line.
There's probably not too many options in free agency anyway.
Yeah.
There's not too many good offensive linemen around the league. So
yeah. Yeah. So I honestly could see a tackle being drafted as a replacement for Villanueva,
who's up there. Yeah.
He's in his 30s and he's only been starting for a couple of years. But remember when he came in the league, he was a defensive end.
For Philly. For Chip Kelly. You
guys missed out on him.
Yeah.
So I think a draft pick, but that would fill it out. That'd give us eight offensive linemen, which we usually run with. So,
all right.
It was quick, man. I think the biggest thing is Ramon Foster. I think they cut him and get
cut
him five
million cap money.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So everybody stays except for Ramon Foster.
I think so.
All right. Sounds good. The Eagles are kind of in a similar situation. Howie Roseman has done a really good job of locking up a lot of his offensive linemen, specifically the good ones, across the board. So the Eagles, four out of their five positions are really locked up. You got Isaac Seumalo starting at the left guard. He was given a new contract a couple years ago, pretty team-friendly deal. You know, he's not amazing, but he's not you know, bad, that bad either. He's bad in some games. But, I mean, even if they brought somebody in to replace him at left guard, I believe he would stay because of his team-friendly deal. And he could play multiple positions. He's actually a possible candidate to replace Jason Kelce when he ends up retiring.
Don't you ever say
that. Dude, he's talked about it. I'm real nervous.
Don't you ever say that again.
I'm real scared about that. He talked last year and talked openly about how he's thinking about retirement, and there's been no news from him so far.
That's going to be a dark day.
Yeah, legend in Philadelphia. Speaking of Jason Kelce, obviously he's got the center position locked up, and I do believe he's going to come back for one more season. I think it might be it. I think he turns 33 sometime this year. He's a smaller man. He's talked about how he gets beat up, but this past year he played relatively healthy. There wasn't any major injuries, no surgeries in the off season. So I do believe he'll be back for another year, give it another run. And then the right side of the line might be the best right side of the line entire NFL. You got Brandon Brooks, although he did dislocate his shoulder in week 17. Everything says, you know, he's going to be good and ready to go for, you know, the start of the new year. And then obviously right tackle Lane Johnson. Both those guys were given big contracts that made him some of the highest paid linemen in the NFL this past offseason. So they're locked up. The biggest question for the Philadelphia Eagles comes at left tackle. You have Jason Peters, who is an absolute bona fide Hall of Fame offensive lineman in the NFL. This dude has been doing it for years. He's 38 years old. He is a legend for Philadelphia. He's literally one of Jeffrey Lurie's, the owner's, best friends. They call each other best friends. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. big problem with him, though, is he commands a good bit of money, even at 38 years old.
Yeah.
I do believe his contract's up at the end of the year. So the Eagles have a big decision to make. He came out saying that he wants to play. He said he was healthy this year. He says he doesn't think he played bad at all. And he wants to come back and he wants to play. The problem is the Eagles spent a first-round pick on Andre Dillard, left tackle of the future, this past year. Yep. So,
and he played well.
He played
too.
Okay. There was a few games where he played at right tackle where he was atrocious, but he's never played right tackle. Played right tackle in his life though. You know, there was times where he did come in and play at left tackle where he did not look bad. Peters didn't miss a lot of time this past year though, so you didn't get to see a whole lot of him. But this is a tough one. And like I said, Peters is a legend. You don't want to see one of those situations where they let Doc go a year or two early and went and flourished in Denver. But with that said, I do believe Jason Peters is going to be moving on this season. Howie Roseman at his end-of-the-year press conference really talked about how this team needs to get younger. He really talked about how some of the older guys that are more injury-prone and that hurts the team. Overall, they spent a first-round pick on Andre Dillard. Jason Peters, as much as this sucks, unless he wants to come back and play left guard and take over for Seumalo, because I think he'd be a better left guard than Seumalo. I just think his time's up. I mean, why pay $10 to $12 million for one more year of a 38-year-old left tackle when you can pay your, you know, second-year guy you drafted in the first round a third of that, you know?
Yeah.
So you save the cap money there. You show confidence in your draft picks and you move forward with the future and you get younger. So I got Jason Peters going, obviously Andre Dillard staying.
Okay. I like it. I agree with you. I think you got to get that first round pick in there and
And you just got to,
I mean, I know you guys aren't struggling for it.
At some point you just have to move on. Like they've given Jason Peters like two contracts towards the end of the year that were supposed to be his farewell like contracts. Okay. And he keeps wanting to play. So at some point you got to move on. Now we go kind of in the backup situation. You have Halipuli Vaivaitai, who has been our swing tackle and even played some at guard when Brandon Brooks was hurt. This is a guy, he's a free agent at the end of the year. I think he's going to get a big contract in free agency for someone to go start. I mean, this is a guy that started at left tackle for us in the Super Bowl. Like I said, he has a lot of versatility. He started at right tackle this year. He started at right guard. And he's shown that he can play in this league. He's not the best. I mean, he's not going to get top of the line offensive tackle money. But as I said, there's really not a lot of good offensive linemen out there that, and not a lot of good ones that hit free agency. So I do believe somebody's going to give him a contract to come in and start. He deserves that opportunity. So I do believe he will be gone from Philadelphia. That leaves another guy they took, I believe, in the same year, the draft a few years ago, Matt Pryor. He will be our backup guard, swing tackle guy. He got a little bit of playing time this year with injuries as well. So he also will be staying. And then there was one guy's name was Sua Peta. He was on the practice squad most of the year and was called up towards the end of the year. And there was another guy named Nate Herbig, who was also a undrafted rookie who was on the practice squad and made the team later on the year as well. They like these guys. They're young guys with talent that supposedly, you know, they wouldn't have been on the roster at the end of the year if they didn't like them. So, you know, they're toss-ups. I think they'll stay just because they like them enough. If not, you know, they could be practice squad candidates again. They're only in their second year. And then the last guy I need to talk about who really is an enigma. He hasn't played one snap in Philadelphia. He's going into his third year. He was a seventh round pick, and that is tackle Jordan Mailata. He is a 6'8", 350-pound rugby star from Australia who the Eagles took in the seventh round a few years ago. Just a freak athlete for that size. He's shown flashes in preseason, but he's had a back issue the past 2 years that kept him on IR. Like I said, has never played a game with them. Yeah, I mean,
I put that kid in a tackle. Jesus.
For real, yeah. And he can run, dude. If you see some of his highlights from rugby and stuff, dude can run.
Yeah, I was gonna say, a rugby kid? Yeah. Steeler brought in a couple of those guys in the camp this year. None of them made it. But those rugby guys, man, they have potential.
He was actually drafted him. And I know their offensive line coach was in love with his athleticism and said, I can turn him into a freak tackle. He's looked good in preseason. Obviously, that's against scrubs most of the time. But Jordan Mailata, I do believe he will stay. He has a chance to be your backup right tackle with the loss of Vitae and possibly, you know, left tackle. So could be the swing tackle if he can stay healthy at some point. You know, he's a mountain of a man and has quick feet. He might be something, but if not, if he gets injured again or if something happens, I do think they'll move on from him. Other than that, though, not much else. They're pretty locked in, 4 out of their 5 positions. Backups, not too bad. They're going to lose Vitae, which is big, you know, because he played a lot of games for them and played well enough, you know, to win, especially win a Super Bowl, obviously. So I don't know if they'll go after anybody in free agency. I don't think they'll waste their money on anybody big in free agency. If they did, it'll be towards the end of free agency. They might sign like a 1-year, you know, vet kind of guy to come in. And you might not even make the team. I find it hard to believe that they'll go the entire draft without taking an offensive lineman. So I'm sure you'll see somebody there in the 4th, 5th, 6th round, somewhere around there. But other than that, they're pretty much set going into 2020 as long as Kelce does not retire.
Okay.
So that's all I got on them, bro.
Yeah, I don't see Kelce retiring.
I don't think so either. I think
something would have come up by now.
Yeah. I think if he would have got hurt again pretty bad, supposedly 2018, he played the year with like a tear in his knee, like a torn meniscus or MCL or something. He also had like a something with his tricep. He had a bunch of injuries he was talking about, and he just felt beat up, and you know, that's when he talked about retiring. So I do think it's his last year. He did just have his first child with his wife. You know, he's made a lot of money. He's going to be 33 years old.
And he's a funny dude and like a big personality. He could go on to do
I'm sure
anything he wants in sport, like commentary. one of those panels, ESPN, something like that. Yeah. So
he'll be fine. I could see him after this year hanging it up. And, you know, so maybe in the draft, that's who the Eagles look for, a replacement for him.
There you go.
In the future. So
okay.
That's all I got. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, man. No, I don't think there's anything else.
All right, let's get back to it. Tell these people where they can find us.
Yeah, so check us out on Twitter at @Birds_Berg. Find us on the Facebook page at the Birds and the Berg podcast. Check us out on all podcasting sites, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Please like and subscribe on all those. Leave us a review, questions or anything, and we'll talk back to you.
Sounds good. Jay, one more time before we get out of here. DC Defenders. All right, that was the Birds and the Berg football podcast. We will catch you next week.